I went to see The Grinch yesterday. There's a new film of The Grinch. I took my children to it. Most of you, I guess, will know the story. It's an old American tale, I think, by Dr. Seuss, and is about this green monster, this green character who hates Christmas and therefore has the great misfortune to live next to a village where they love Christmas. And so, of course, predictably, during the course of the story, his heart is warmed and he learns to embrace the spirit of Christmas. It's about, I think, the third film I've seen of it. I read the book when I was a child, and this is a new film just came out, I think, last week. A great thing to get you into the Christmas spirit. Though I do find myself, as I get older, I begin to identify or feel a little bit more sympathetic towards the Grinch. I'm hitting 50 next year, so it may just be that I'm on that trajectory to become a grumpy old man. That's certainly the view of my wife. But you know, one has a certain sympathy for the Grinch. And so, all the more reason to take to heart the words of St. Paul in the letter to the Philippians, our reading this morning. Rejoice in the Lord always, he says. Again, I will say rejoice. These are words for the Grinch in you and in me. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. These were not easy words for St. Paul to say. He was writing this letter from prison, as indeed he wrote quite a number of his letters from prison. He was repeatedly arrested and imprisoned. He was beaten up. He was shipwrecked. He was chased out of town. And yet, somehow or other, he was able to find the positive in the worst of circumstances. He uses the word rejoice 16 times in this letter. It's only a short letter, 4 chapters long. 16 times he finds something to rejoice in. He's able to find the positive in the worst of all circumstances. And you see it right at the very beginning of the letter, where he talks about the fact that he's in prison, and then he finds a positive spin on it. He's in prison, and so word is getting out to other people that he is in prison for his faith in Christ. So therefore, people are hearing about Jesus. And he says, this is great news. Well, because he's in prison, some of his rivals, that he didn't get on very well, his rival preachers are out, you know, making the most of the fact that he's not on the scene. They are out there. Maybe they're motivated, he says, by envy or jealousy. But either way, the name of Christ is being spread abroad. So in the most difficult of circumstances, he can find something to be joyful about, something to give thanks for. And I think there's a kind of wisdom in that. It's very easy to find the negative stuff. We can all do that. Much more difficult in hard times to find the one thing that you can say, well, I am still thankful for this. This is something to rejoice in. Rejoice in the Lord always, he says. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. Gentleness is not, I think, a very good translation of this word. Some translations will have forbearance, but it relates to something I've talked about before in Aristotle. Aristotle, the great Greek philosopher, wrote a book on ethics, and in the middle of his book on ethics, he talks about the fact that there are circumstances where the strict application of the law causes injustice. So we need what he calls the virtue of epikeia. You need to know when you should set the law on one side. I'm always a bit careful in this congregation about talking about any legal things, in case I get anything wrong, a lot of lawyers around. It seems to me, however, this is why we want sentencing guidelines and not sentencing rules. I mean, you want to have a judge at the end of the day using his or her discretion. Because there are times when the strict application of the law will do somebody an injustice. So you need to have this knack, what he calls epikeia, the virtue of epikeia, this ability to kind of reflect, to know when that is the case. And of course, you can't write rules to explain it, because then it's just another law. So if you do that, Aristotle says, you are being magnanimous. And that's a big thing in Aristotle. Magnanimity. I had to rehearse this word earlier on. That's really the word here. Let your magnanimity be known to everyone. Be a noble spirit is how Aristotle talks about it. In other words, there are times in life where you are in the right, and they are in the wrong. They've done something to you and they are wrong about it. But sometimes we have to be magnanimous, be generous. And even when you say, because it's more than forgiveness. Forgiveness, you go, why? Okay, well, when they come to me, when they repent and say sorry, then I'll forgive them. And this is more than that. This is sometimes, well, even if they don't say sorry, be magnanimous. Be the bigger person. I try and teach this to my children. Well, to myself as much as anything else, but to my children, we even have a little, let it go. So one of the key things in life, you've got to breathe in, we have a little action, you're going to breathe in, let it go. And it just seems to me that's one of the, that's one of the skills in life we have to learn. The times where you just need to be able to breathe in and let it go. Even when you're in the right and they're in the wrong, let your magnanimity be known to everyone. The Lord is near. In other words, God is close. Do not worry about anything, he says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. We talked a little bit about this in the discussion group we've been having at the pub on Tuesday nights about prayer. What does prayer do? Do you always get answers? How does that work? What is the purpose of praying? And it seems to me one of the purposes is because it helps us let go of anxiety and stress and worry. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, who's a great Catholic saint, founder of the Jesuits, advised his followers to work as if everything depends on you, but pray as if everything depends on God. And sometimes in life you get to a point, you go, right, I've done everything I can do. I've done everything I can do, and now I just have to hand this on to God. And that's what we do in prayer. You've done everything you can do, and all you can do now is to say, right, God, I give this to you. It's in your hands. I'm not going to worry about it anymore. It's in the hands of God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Be magnanimous. Don't worry, but hand things over to God. And he says, and so this is the conclusion. This follows from, if you do those first three things, rejoice, be magnanimous, hand things over to God in prayer, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.